Thanks for staying for my presentation. I know you have lots of different options, and so that's great that you are here. I'm going to talk to you about a project that I'm involved in that's very much applied, and that a lot of the things that you've been hearing from the previous speakers, and my project talks a lot about the application of that within a community setting. I just want to acknowledge my community partners, Identified and Red. And this was a study funded by the National Institutes of Minority Health and Health Disparities, R24 grant. I'm going to talk to you about, everything I'm going to talk to you about is going to be about the Wellness Engagement Project, or short for the WEE Project. It's a community-based participatory research project, and this is really the planning stages of that research. I'm going to focus my remarks on coalition building. How do you build a coalition within a very distressed and a traumatized community in order to create a culture of health and wellness? I'm going to talk about building social and human capital, and then briefly about using theater as a means of communicating these messages. And I hope to do it within my time frame. So this is the WEE project. It's a CBBR project. Everything. And I'm not going to be able to talk to you about all the details. And so hopefully I can make some good judgments about what to talk about. But everything in this project, from the logo, from the tag, has been developed with community input. So coalition building, how do we do that? I think that is a challenge for us when we're thinking about how to create a culture of health and wellness. I think one of the ways to do that effectively, and it's supported by the literature, and certainly in this example of the WEE project, is engaging stakeholders. I think that is so key to identify who the stakeholders are and to engage them in meaningful ways. In the WEE project, we have a Community Health Leadership Council. These are key leaders within the community, from the health department to business organizations, nurses, community-based organizations, faith-based organizations, who are part of this leadership council, who are really sort of the backbone of the project in terms of providing guidance to the WEE project. Then the model that I'm going to be talking about a lot today is the Wellness Ambassador model, which is really using laypersons in the community in a deal role. They are not the same as community health workers. These are advocates for health, but they're also community researchers. So that's the dual role that they occupy, and obviously with that dual role comes a lot of ethical and other challenges. And then the Petersburg Wellness Consortium, I want to talk to you about that as an example of coalition building beyond just the funding. As you may very well know, communities have problems with researchers who come into their communities. They have funding for a limited time, and then they leave. And so the question is always, what are we building that's sustainable and that can really be that force for change? And the Petersburg Wellness Consortium is what we establish in the city of Petersburg. Just very briefly, I don't have a slide on it because I don't want to have too many slides. But I want to tell you something about the city of Petersburg, because I think it's very important for us to know the community where we do work in, because that really shapes everything that we do and everything that we are confronted with. Petersburg is located about 30 miles away from the city of Richmond. It has approximately 32,000 residents, such nice size. 79% of them are identified as African American. And Petersburg has also been identified as the county in the Commonwealth of Virginia with the poorest health outcomes and the poorest health factors. Out of 133 counties in the Commonwealth of Virginia, Petersburg ranks 133 out of 133 for both health factors and health outcomes. And I think that is a critical piece of information, because I believe data like that traumatizes a community and their own self-perception. So when you come in as an outsider, a community already knows that data, and they're very suspicious about what your intentions are. Is your intention to further traumatize them, or your intentions to really focus on the assets within that community? So these wellness ambassadors, as I mentioned, they are local residents. They have to do ethics training. And at the VCU, we have a different training for community researchers, but it pretty much goes through the same city training components that you have done. And the other thing about the wellness ambassadors are they are involved in all aspects of the research, both in research design, data collection, data analysis, of course, recruitment, as laypersons are often used, and as well as in the data dissemination process. So how can coalitions be effective? I think that's the other question. I mean, we could start coalitions for all we want, but how can we be effective? And what we have found, and we've been in Petersburg now for almost 2 years, I think it's so important for academic community partnerships to respond to community needs. I did not tell you, and you're probably wondering, what is the goal of the grant, right? What is the aims of the grant? The aim of the grant is to do a pilot intervention to reduce obesity. But the other important aim of the grant is to evaluate this community academic partnership. Can you actually create a community academic partnership that can mobilize a community towards health and wellness? And so I said there's a pilot intervention, right? And normally the pilot intervention happens after you've conducted your formative research, right? Because that's what it will lead to. But what most often happens is communities ask you, well, are you telling me that you're going to be working in our community for 2-3 years before you actually do something? And you're coming in with the knowledge that we rank 133 out of 133. Now, this is absolutely ludicrous to a community member. Why would you need that many years? So you have that conflict between the research process that has to follow a certain sort of protocol process and all of that, but then you have the community needs. So what is it that you do? I think in order to create social norms to really support a culture of health and wellness, you have to show communities, as academics, and that's the position I'm talking about, that you're viable, that you have a viable product that you're selling, because you're essentially selling an idea, that this is what you believe in. And what is that? And what is that? And I think the answer to that is that you do something outside the context of your brand. And in Petersburg, what we have done is we've created the Petersburg Wellness Consortium, which is separate and apart from the grant, which is not grant-funded at all. It consists of about 30 or more community-based organizations in the city of Petersburg, and we launched the Petersburg Million Mile Challenge in the first year of the grant. So nothing to do with the grant, but we launched this as the do something, as a response. We know that Petersburg, the data in terms of obesity for Petersburg is 34% higher, for example, than the city of Richmond. The rates of obesity. So are we going to wait till year 3 before we do something? So we started this campaign about a year ago. There was a lot of talk here about the media and other stakeholders, and we've had media support. As of this date, we have recorded 600,000 miles in the city of Petersburg. And 600,000 miles, I want to say that again. And I think one of the first speakers may have mentioned something about existing assets. That's the other thing. No matter how poor the health rankings of a community may be, no matter how marginalized or poverty-stricken they may be, there are already things happening that are positive. And I think as researchers, we need to do a better job of highlighting what's already happening. And I think with the PwC, we've been able to do that. So in terms of social and human capital, and I think for me what this refers to in this context is really the wellness ambassadors, building that capital both for research, but also in terms of becoming and being a health advocate with your neighbors, with those members in your social network. These are some of the methods that we have used in the project up to this point. I'm obviously not going to be able to go into great detail about any of them, but we did an asset mapping, 5 minutes. Where we mapped the assets and we trained 18 youth and we partnered with VCU's urban planning mentors. So it was a mentoring team. I think the other thing I'd like to point out to you that's fairly interesting is the house chats. These are informal conversations that the wellness ambassadors have with members of their social network. So friends and family, people they meet at the gas station, people they meet at the corner store, and they invite them either to their home or to another comfortable place in the community, and they follow a structured guide on health and wellness and getting people's input. And we've been able to have 38 house chats. We've also been able to conduct 1,300 community surveys that's representative of the 7 wards in the city of Petersburg, and we were able to do that within a 6-week time frame. This is amazing. It was representative, and the wellness ambassadors and the Community Health Leadership Council, because of their networks, as well as the PwC, was able to assist us in doing this. So I think this is what you can do when you build human and social capital, if you utilize your networks, and if you're actually about doing something and being responsive. These are just some pictures. It's always good to have put, faces sort of, what do these people look like? And then finally, I'd like to talk about the place. So we did all of that data collection, right? And so the big thing in CPBR, and even in more traditional research now, we're talking about disseminating the findings back to the community. But as you may well know, just telling the community what you find is sort of leaves you with a blank stare. Well, so what? So you have to do more than that. And what we did in this project, we looked at all the data. We highlighted the key findings, and we wrote a play, a script based on the data, based on what we found the challenges were related to obesity, what some of the family issues were, what were some of the structural barriers, and we made it relatable to Petersburg. I think that's the other thing about developing interventions. It has to be relatable to the community. And my big thing was the community has to recognize themselves when they see or hear the play. They have to say, well, that sounds like my aunt's story or my story. And it was very successful. I think the other thing about building coalitions and building community is that you have to build a brand. And because through branding, people will not only know about your project, but they will know about the idea that you're trying to develop with them. I think in terms of communication, your values, philosophies, beliefs have to be embedded in messaging at all levels. At the interpersonal level, at the group level, at the community level, at the social and the media level. I think your values, what it is you want to communicate, and for us the big value is engagement. We want to engage people in a meaningful voice, a meaningful way, and we want to make sure that we hear and acknowledge people's voices. I think you have to be transparent. I think that's the other thing when we talk about communication. What you say, when you say it, how you say it, you have to be absolutely transparent if you want people to trust you. But it's more than trust. It really is shifting ownership of an idea that may have started with you, which in this case it didn't start with us, it started with the community. But you really want the community to own that idea. It has to be about them, and it has to be in their own voice. And I think that is a challenge, but it's very important. And when that happens, you could say, success. When they start talking about obesity as their issue and not an academic issue. All right. I think the potential of human capital, I think for me it's all about that. It's about the relationships that you develop with your stakeholders, whether it is the media, whether it is individuals, your wellness ambassadors, whether it is city government. I think it's all about those relationships. And the other thing too, relationships is not something sort of on its own, or that's not the way I see it. I think the way I understand it within a context of a project like this, it really is relationships and doing. You have to do. I think traditionally we invite people to be part of our project, right? That's what we do. I think it's time that we become part of other people's projects. And through that engagement, people will invite themselves to your project. I think we have to shift that paradigm. Yeah, I made the same point. Cultivate relationships and partners by doing. Just be present. Be present. Don't come for your meeting. Don't go to the city for your meeting and that's when they'll see you. You have to be present, you have to be engaged, you have to go to funerals, you have to go to weddings, you have to go to health fairs, you have to help out, you just have to be available. I think that's how you create a culture of change, because academics will always be seen as outsiders until they actually take those steps. Thank you.